Tonight's Wednesday Big Brother recap is sponsored by Blue Apron. Rob Has a Podcast listeners can get their first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. That's better than anything you're going to find in the Den of Temptation. That's three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who was getting called a snake on reality TV before Paul made it cool. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother live recap of Wednesday night's Big Brother. And we've got a fun show for you guys here today. The first of three nights in a row of live podcasts after BB19. And we've got a great guest here with us. A man who is not a snake, but he is a king in our books. Please welcome from Big Brother OTT, the great Scott Dennis. Yes, Scott, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Rob. It's always fun and it's a good episode. Looking forward to talking about it.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
There we go.
Here is Scott from Big Brother OTT. So excited to have you, a longtime super fan here with us to break everything down. Scott, how are you enjoying BB19?
I'm pretty excited about it. I was really worried during that first week that Cody would end up sending home Whistle Nut and it would sort of be a steamroll of that nine-person alliance.
But never.
I'm glad with how the season's shaken out.
Okay. Well, we got
a lot
to talk through here on a busy week in the Big Brother house during Alex's HOH reign. And here with me to talk about everything else that's going on in the Big Brother house, a woman who has both Alex and Whistle Nut down called, Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. You forgot Josh, though. I feel like I have like a pretty solid Josh impression going on.
Yeah, I didn't know you did impressions, so I was thought you were great.
You know what?
On the round table this week.
I didn't know I did impressions either, so apparently I can do them.
Sometimes the inspiration just strikes you. That's how it works. And so we have a lot to get to here tonight. Scott St. Pierre is behind the scenes. Hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions later on in this show. And we've got a lot to do here. Just also about 2 weeks to go until our next Big Brother or our first ever Big Brother proper live show. We did one during OTT back in October of last year, but we're going to be live with Eric Stein and Johnny Mack on the night of August 3rd in New York City. A few tickets are left for that if you want to come out and join us for that live show. That's got robhasawebsite.com/BB19live. And I just put up a little banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Okay, let's start to talk about everything here in a very snake-filled night on Big Brother 19. This was the night where we saw everything going on from the perspective of Dominique and how she felt like that Paul the Snake was really starting to have his way. And while Dominique had a lot of points in terms of how Paul is a snake, we saw Paul referring to himself as the puppet master for the first time here in Big Brother 19.
Hello, house guests. This is your puppet master speaking. What are we going to do? We're going to get Dominique out, right?
Yeah, yes. Get Dominique out. Yes, Paul. Yes, Dominique. Yay!
And so Dominique had some good points here. Paul is a snake. He is the puppet master. But the approach from Dominique, I think, is what's going to really be in question here. So, Scott, let's just start off with Dominique's approach to everything.
Well, I thought Dominique had a lot of good points and she articulated herself well, but that was only in the diary room. So, unfortunately, once she spoke to the other house guests, she just didn't want to, you know, actually give any real information. She just wanted to sort of speak in riddles and bat around the issue for, you know, half an hour on end. And that's just not how you can, approach someone with strategy. You got to be more upfront about it.
Well, Melissa, let me just play devil's advocate. And I don't mean to bring the Lord of Darkness into all of this as we're having a nice, pious conversation. But for Dominique, was this actually the right approach to not be direct and to not give up names? Because we saw that conversation that she had with Whistlenut, and he's like, tell me something. Tell me. What should I do? And she's like, well, there's somebody in the house. There is a snake. I'm not going to say who it is, but they're here, and I know, and if you trust me, take me down off the block. But then we did see him go right back into a room with Paul, and Paul asking, like, what did she say? What names did she – did she say a name? Did she tell you anything? And so for her, was it actually better to be holding her cards close to the vest?
I mean, I see why she did it, because she clearly was trying to avoid Paul's wrath and avoid Paul finding out that she was, you know, going against him. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it didn't work out for her that way at all. And instead, it was the complete opposite, where not only did Paul call her out, but then people didn't trust her or believe her because she wasn't giving them any actual facts. So if she had just started from the get-go, calling people out, telling people's names, saying, having facts to back it up, maybe that fight with Paul would have gone a little better for her. Because I think that if she, just as Scott said, if she had said exactly what she said in the diary room to the house guests about how Paul's a vet and he's trying to lull you into a false sense of security by giving you advice and telling you that he's helping you, that if she had said exactly that, I feel like she could have had a good case for herself.
Yeah, Scott, this is where it gets tricky with Dominique, because she seems like she's a really smart lady and she's making a, you know, good case in the diary room of why people shouldn't trust Paul. But then we're also at the same time, she's in a constant conversation with God, which, you know what? Look, there's smarter people than me that are out there. I don't know what's going on. She's talking about how the Holy Spirit told her that she was going up on the block. That she also says that the word of God came to her and told her, Paul, 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 that's the betrayer. So I don't know what to make of this, Scott.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the stress of the house is getting to her. I mean, when she's in the diary room, she articulates herself well, and I feel like she has a good general grasp of what's going on. But unfortunately, when she's just talking to the other house guests, she just doesn't have that. I don't know if it's a level of trust or a level of comfort where she can actually just say what she's feeling.
Okay,
but Scott, she's more honest in the diary room, but she just kind of beating around the bush way too much when it comes to talking.
Beating
about
around the burning bush, I think, too much. Scott, here's what I want to know. When you were in the Big Brother OTT house, did you commune with God, or did God not want to watch CBS All Access Big Brother OTT?
I mean, he was definitely with us. He's everywhere, right? And I mean, he steered the season the way, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know how to answer this. No, I did not. No.
Okay. Yes. Now, God has a lot on his plate, in fairness, where
absolutely.
Survivor the Amazon, once upon a time I said that I don't know if Jesus has a vested interest in Survivor. That being said, maybe God and Jesus are watching Big Brother. Maybe they prefer that show instead. But, you know, everybody has a uniquely personal relationship with the Almighty, and that's not my place to get into any questions about that. But it is interesting to just see that she's being led a certain direction by some almighty power, Scott. Could it be that she's actually being led to her destruction in the game only to be resurrected in the battle back come Friday night?
I don't see Dominique winning the battle back. I mean, with Cody and
Wouldn't
Cameron,
it be
there,
a miracle though, Scott?
It would be. It would be quite the upset, and it would be a miracle to say the least. But I mean, if she does come back, it would probably just be a revolving door, and I don't know. That's not going to be good feeds.
We'll see. You don't know, Melissa. Could the miracle from on high be on our way this Friday night?
It absolutely could. I mean, it depends what the battle back entails. We have no idea what it's going to be, so you never know. She did a great job at the veto when she was hanging on the bottom and had to kind of find her way back on top, but unfortunately she didn't win. But, you know, she She made a good effort.
Now, Melissa, I've heard you guys on the LFC Roundtable and the updates talk about how really, if you take a look at the evolution of Paul's game, that Derek played in Big Brother 16, and then his influence was on Pauly Calafiore, and then that influence rubbed off on Paul. So there's like this third generation of Derek going on. Do you feel like that the snake strategy was something that did come directly from Pauly Calafiore?
I decided to rattle her.
Yes, like when he decided to rattle people in the house. We literally heard the snake rattle quite a bit tonight.
Yes, we did. A little too much, I think. But, you know, I do think that it rubbed off on Paul. I think he's using a lot of what he saw Pauly doing and how well it worked out for him in the beginning. And he's probably just hoping he does not flame out in that grand fashion that Pauly did. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I thought that this was a lot of fun. And as we know, Scott Dennis, that I do enjoy it whenever Big Brother has fun, either with the voiceover.
Later, they were joined by their virgin king.
Or with the sound effects. I love all of that about Big Brother. But tonight, we really went overboard with the Paul Snake sound effects. Here is a little bit of a conversation between Dominique and Paul.
Would you ever in your life betray me?
No.
Have you been dishonest about anything?
Every time, Melissa.
Every, like, when he's not saying something, it's more of just a subtle sound, and then he says something, and then it's a big rattle. Yes. It's a little bit much. It's like, we get it.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Scott, about the snake costume, because there was a lot of controversy coming into this week. There were certain reports in the media, including one on TMZ, that had misreported that Paul was going to be going into full snake costume. Somehow that got construed into that Paul was going to wear blackface at some point during the veto ceremony. And I don't know how that telephone game ultimately happened. I know that this was not part of that telephone game.
Jesus, pick up the phone. I know you hear it ringing. I need your help.
That was not part of that telephone game. But luckily, that was not what ultimately played out. What do we make of the snake-a-tard that Paul was donning to the veto ceremony?
I think it was over the top, and it was unnecessary for sure. Like, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it just really sets Paul up for, you know, establishing himself as the person who is making the move this week. Like, Alex isn't getting that much blood on her hands this week. I don't really like how much he's sucking up to Paul, but I like how the actual moves are being done. I don't really like her entire rationale, but all of the blame for this move is being put onto Paul, and him just dressing up like that is only going to drive the point home.
Okay.
And I feel like it's just setting himself up for a target.
Melissa, how do you feel about that? Was that a good move or a bad move on Paul's part to embrace the snake role?
I thought it was so dumb. I thought the whole thing was dumb. Like, him going down to her slithering, like, it's just so stupid. It's like, I didn't think it was fun or funny or clever. I was just like, okay, we get it. You think that it's like a little much that she's calling you a snake. You disagree with it. So in order to do that, you want to make fun of it so much that you want to dress up like it. It was just like too much. I did not care for it.
You know, I'll actually go the other direction. And Melissa, you might have more information in terms of how the house reacted to it. But I think that on Paul's part, I think it was a smart idea to sort of steer into the curve. And maybe he ended up going too far with it. But there was this attack that he could have been painted with. And rather than resist it, he embraced it and said, oh, I guess I am the snake. Oh, let me dress up like a snake because I'm such a snaky snake. That's me. I'd look at and the fact that it didn't bother him so much, the fact that he embraced it, I wonder if it sort of makes him a bulletproof to that attack moving forward, Scott.
I mean, I think he's set up pretty well right now. I don't think that this particular, antic of dressing up like a snake is really going to change anything. But I don't know. I still feel like that it just sort of sets himself up as really being in the front and center, and that's not where you want to be for the first 3 weeks of the game.
Melissa, I don't want to go too much into live feeds, but what was the reaction inside the house to Paul's snake costume?
They thought it was like hilarious and funny, and yeah. People were all joining in and saying, you know, you should do this with your costume, or you should put this on your face or whatever. And so they were into it. I mean, I see what you're saying. I just, as like a viewer, I think it's totally dumb. But, you know, I could see why he's doing it, because if he sits there and is like, wait, what? She called me a snake? Wait, no. And like freaked out. Mm-hmm. Then I could see, you know, that being bad for him. But at the same time, I don't know if this like truly helped him that much, because I feel like they already are so into him and just following him like little sheep that it wouldn't really hurt him or help him either way.
Yeah. He's done a very good job of just giving his followers enough stuff to, just keep the momentum going. And I think he's done a really smart job in terms of, this is such a long slog, but he's been positioning himself very well along the way, even though there is a lot of ground to still go in this season. Let's touch on a little bit of that confrontation that played out on Saturday during the feeds. Scott, I had the pleasure of getting to watch that in person, and I thought that Dominique really did not help make a case for herself against the aggressiveness of Paul. What was your read on how that situation went down?
This was when they were in the HOH room late at night.
Right.
Right, yeah. I mean, again, Dominique's just sort of beating around the bush, and she won't get directly to the issue, which makes a lot of people, I don't know, it's hard to trust someone when you talk to them for a half hour and you're not sure what they were even talking about. It's hard to feel like you had a productive conversation with someone when they don't give any information out. And she just did that in front of everyone.
Yeah.
It's, if you're going to be called out, then you need to respond with something and not sort of be like, you kind of caught me, but I'm not going to admit anything, or I'm not going to blow anything up, because she did have information. She just didn't use it.
Yeah, Melissa, that on Paul's part, it seemed as though he caught word of that there was going to be, she wanted to call him out. And it seemed like that he made her jump the gun. He basically went to her directly and said, okay, Dom, you want to talk to me? You want to have a house meeting? Let's go right now. Are you awake? Let's go. We will have this conversation right now. And so it seemed like that maybe he caught her off guard by forcing that conversation to happen earlier than she wanted it to happen.
Yeah, I definitely think that was the case. I think he wanted to cut it off at the pass and kind of get her when she was vulnerable and wasn't able to come up with, you know, intelligent, well thought out arguments. And he also knew that the people who were currently in the HOH were people that were already on his side. So it's not like, you know, it's everybody. It's just the people who are backing him that are sitting in the HOH. And they know, he already knows what Dom has told them. He already knows what's going on. So he's prepared. He's been awake. Dom was in bed. So, you know, she's totally caught off guard and isn't ready and prepared to defend herself, unfortunately. I think maybe if she had more time to prepare, she might have been better able to combat his aggressiveness. But at the same time, if she was still going to talk in riddles, you know, it's hard to get anything out of it.
Right. So here's a clip of, this was Dominique's, her attack against Paul.
So am I a snake? Do you think I'm the snake?
I think you have snake tendencies. Yes, I do.
Snake tendencies. I mean, that's really watering it down, Scott.
I mean, there's a lot of similarities. They both slither. They're both familiar with their surroundings.
Yeah, well, okay. So yeah,
they're both tempters.
We did get the exact snake tendencies that Paul has. Again, a little bit of a riddle that she gave to Alex. These are his tendencies.
How does a snake operate? It slithers. Yeah, it slithers, right? How does a snake ensure that it doesn't run into things?
How does a snake ensure that it doesn't run into things? Melissa, I mean, did we have to go to some sort of like veterinary college to know the answers to these questions?
I like how Alex is like, right, yeah. His tongue thing, huh?
Yeah, and the tongue. Like, that's what Alex says. Hold on. Let me play the rest of this.
Does it do the tongue thing?
Yeah, does it do the tongue thing?
It has to be familiar with this apartment.
He has to be familiar with his surroundings. That's how he gets around, she's Melissa.
Like, she's like, right, well, he does do the tongue thing, yes, but that's not quite the thing I'm talking about. It's like, if I was Alex, I'd be like, I'm sorry, like, what is going on here? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
How does this
snake and I
grow?
Still don't really.
It sheds its skin and then puts on a different snake costume. Don't you see? That's what he's doing.
It's like, what does any of this mean, though? Like, what does this mean that Paul is doing? I still don't understand the connection.
Yeah. Scott, that we now know everything that a snake does. It's exactly the same. Really, the snake metaphor has been taken so far.
Yeah, it's been pushed pretty heavily. I mean, especially with the entire temptation theme. But yeah. I think we can get rid of the snake metaphors. I think they're a little tried.
Yeah. It's I just in terms of these two styles that are at play, you have absolutely direct and cutting and somebody with a lot of influence in the house in Paul. And then Dominique has this circular, circuitous route that she wants to take to ultimately pointing to Paul. And she really just needs to come in with the smoking gun here of what Paul is trying to prove. And would people believe her? I don't know. But it seems like that would be much more effective and direct. I mean, that's how you go after somebody who's a BSer like Paul. You just have to nail them to the wall directly and not give them any room to slither, Melissa.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the problem, though, is that when I was watching the confrontation on the live feeds, I was like, okay, Dom, you got to come forward and just say what you know. Say why you think Paul's a snake. Say the information that you have. But the whole time I was like, I don't really know how she came to this conclusion, but I'm glad that she came to the conclusion, but I don't know how. And so I was waiting to see on the episode maybe why she came to this, like what knowledge she got that made her realize that Paul was tricking all of them. But it
Melissa,
was
God told her.
I know.
Three times.
Well, that's the thing.
Paul,
apparently.
Paul. Yeah.
Apparently. That's how she came to the information. And I feel like that's not quite something you can get across to people and get them to believe you.
Now, Melissa, we saw in the episode, it appeared as though Dominique was speaking in tongues. Again, I don't know much about this. And I don't, again, this is stuff that I don't know about, so I don't want to make fun. I've only seen this before when Roxy in Survivor Philippines was doing the same thing. Did we know that Dominique was speaking in tongues?
I didn't know that before this episode. And then I saw the episode and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Scott, did you know about this?
I didn't know about it. I saw one comment online, but I just thought it was like a sarcastic joke or something. But then I saw it on the episode. I was like, oh, I mean, is this like a trope now? Like, is this like a repeated enough thing that it's just going to be like a regular thing?
It doesn't seem to work. That's the issue here, that if speaking in tongues, it's not getting anybody far into the game.
No.
That's the problem here right now. I want to talk about also this conversation where she did a bad job, I felt like, that once she identified that Paul was the snake, she started talking about, hey, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But she did a really bad job of tipping Paul off to the fact that she did not trust him. This was a conversation where she, after she got nominated, she ends up going under the blanket and trying to talk to Paul. And she comes across a little Hector Salamanca.
You okay, big girl? If you need me at any point, you know where to find me. But everything's repairable, so.
Why did she go silent on Paul at that point?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess because I think she's first of all pissed at him. She's really upset with him. So I think that she just like wants to gather herself and, you know, gather her thoughts before confronting him because she felt like she wouldn't be able to contain it and might lash out. I mean, that was what I was thinking, but I don't really know.
Yeah. Scott, if she knows that Paul's the snake, isn't it a bad idea to let the snake know that you are not with him?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, as far as her not responding to Paul, I mean, I agree with Melissa. Mm-hmm. She had just been nominated and she had talked to Alex about, in a roundabout way, how Paul was a snake. And then she got nominated herself. So she must have assumed that, you know, connect the dots. They must have talked. And she's not really direct even now. So she was probably still afraid to even express herself and tell Paul what she wanted to say because she was just afraid of lashing out.
So we've talked so much about Paul and Dominique, but I felt like that the two people that were really at the center of everything in tonight's episode were Alex and Jason, Melissa's favorite. And I thought that that was the first time that we really got to see this dynamic working together. I think that they're a lot of fun. I liked getting to see them talk through everything that was going on in the house. And there was some dissension in the ranks in terms of what to do about Jessica, who's up on the block. Jason is very concerned that Jessica is going to end up being the one to go home. They really want to take out a number from that other side of the house. But Alex feels much more that they need to sort of keep the other side at ease and just, you know, trust them. They're going to take out Dominique. Melissa, did you feel like that the show represented all of that fairly tonight?
I think so. I think that Jason's doing the smart thing. Well, he's doing the smart thing and trying to rope in Jessica potentially because she's by herself. She's a number. She could help them. She's an outsider. So are they. But Alex thinks that she's working with Paul. So Alex doesn't see herself as an outsider and she doesn't see a reason to keep Jessica around. And I think it's very disappointing to me because I kind of feel like Alex doesn't like Jessica because of things that happened with Cody in the beginning. And she's unwilling to see Jessica as a potential ally. And Alex talks all the time about how she doesn't like girls and how she doesn't want to work with girls because they're too crazy and too dramatic or whatever. And she relates better to guys. And I feel like, unfortunately, it's like she doesn't like girls and she wants to target girls. And I don't like it. I'm very saddened by it because I was kind of hoping that Jessica could be pulled in with Alex and Jason because I love those two together. They're so funny. And they're a great little duo. And I wish that Jessica could kind of be pulled into that.
Scott, where do you come down on the Alex and Whistlenut debate over should they just go along with the Paul side of things or should they try to pull off a bigger move this week?
Well, I mean, it's really fun, first of all. It's a really fun dynamic. And I mean, I think Jason has the better mindset of, hey, we shouldn't be trusting Paul so much. You know, he's got his hands in every pot, you know. But I do like Alex's move of getting rid of Dominique this week because she does need to get rid of someone that was from that original big group. And she needs to do it with getting as little blood on her hands as possible. So that way the big group doesn't like come after her next for being a comp threat. So I do like the move of getting out Dominique at whatever cost, but they both just have sort of different ways of going about it.
So we got to see Paul talk us through a Giesling-esque plan that he had where he talked us through, not necessarily in terms of that it was a great plan in terms of like talking us through what he was about to do. I think that always plays well in the diary room. And so he wanted to sell to Alex and Jason this idea that Mark was going to go up on the block because Mark was the one person that was going to fight to save Dominique, and he wanted to sort of plant that idea in their head and make it look like it came from them, and then he was going to act like, oh, what a great idea you guys came up with and going for it. But tell me, Scott, do you feel like that was this too much on Paul's part? It seems like that they had the numbers on that side of the house. Why risk alienating Mark by trying to force him up on the block this week?
I mean, I'm assuming Paul wants to create some sort of distrust between Mark and Alex and Jason. But I mean, he just needs to micromanage everything. And it's really annoying. But beyond that, it was really bad for Alex to even entertain that because with the deal that Elena made with Alex, it's just so shady. Like, obviously, Elena was asking for way too much to protect, like, six people from her nominations. But to not even protect Mark, who's, like, publicly Elena's, like, really close ally, to put up Mark on the block and betray that deal she had with Elena, that's just a no-go from the get-go. You can't do that.
No-go from the get-go, Melissa. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Paul was so intent on getting Mark on the block. I mean, he understood the idea of, like, he didn't want to be a vote for Dominique to stay. But, like, why, though? There are so many more people who are going to vote Dominique out. And, like, worst case scenario, then Dominique stays and Jessica goes. And Jessica's against Paul anyway. So I didn't really see why Paul was totally pushing for it. But I did think that the move was pretty good. The fact that he was able to convince Alex that it was her idea, which was crazy to me. Paul's sitting there like, you know, I think you've got a great idea, Alex, but the only way I'll do it is if we can get everyone on board. And it's like, and she's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But wait, the only way I'll do it? Like, you were the one who came up with the idea in the first place. Yeah. It's so crazy to me how she just went along with it, thinking like, yeah, this is exactly what we've been talking about, when he just gave you the idea. I don't know.
I think that right there in a nutshell is everything that's good and bad about Paul, that he can be super manipulative. And I thought that the show did a good job of showcasing that, especially like zooming in on the friendship bracelets when he's talking about, you know, he's again selling to Dominique. My game is all about friendship, all about honesty and integrity. I can't go against my word. And us, him telling us in the diary room about, you know, that he's got to play a more sneaky game than he did last season. And it was kind of pretty sneaky, you know, from the get-go when he was like, you know, just saying, like, he was on Davon's team and saying with Jose and Zakiya, we got to get rid of the vets, like on the first night. So I think he was pretty sneaky the first time around. But that being said, I think that the issue for Paul is that he has no chill, and the fact that he can't just go into a week and then have, okay, Dominique is a dead woman walking, let's just go into Thursday with her against Jessica up on the block. Oh no, I need to have my hand-picked pawn sit next to Dominique on the block. And sure, there's some upside there, but there's also a lot of downside risks, Scott. And I don't know necessarily if the upside outweighed the downside to pull off that move.
Yeah, definitely not. Like I said earlier, he's just setting himself up as the person who's controlling all the action week after week. I mean, week one, when Cody tried to backdoor him and he had to put up Christmas instead, obviously Paul was front and center that week. Week two, he was HOH. And he's sort of taken over this week's HOH. And I don't think it's a secret to anyone after the whole Dominique Paul blow up on Saturday night. So, yeah, he's just really establishing himself as the leader and the alpha of the group.
Alpha, and don't be a beta.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yes.
And yeah, he's just setting himself up.
So I want to talk through a little bit of the veto ceremony, because I thought something very interesting happened there. We know that Jason ended up getting picked by Jessica to be in the veto. He ends up winning the veto, and then he is put in this position to either take down Jessica, which I'm sure that he thought about considering that she picked him to play in the veto, or taking down Dominique. And something very interesting happened in that meeting. And I am very curious to know about motive here. Why did Jason really allow Dominique to have a whole platform to talk about why he should have used the veto on her? Melissa, I know that you've been following all this very closely. What was Jason going for there?
I honestly have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, I think maybe he was hoping to get more information out of Dominique, like hoping that maybe she'll give him some information about Paul or something that she knows. I mean, even now people are still trying to get information out of her and trying to see what she knows, you know, before the vote. So, I mean, I'm assuming that he just wanted to get some more information out of her because she just wasn't giving it. I mean, the whole time she kept saying, I'm going to make a big speech at the veto meeting. I'm going to tell everybody everything at the veto meeting. It'll all become clear at the veto meeting. And after her speech, I don't feel like I learned anything.
Do you feel was he trying to do her a solid and give her the opportunity to get something out? Or was he trying to give her more rope to hang herself with?
I don't know. I mean, I think that it could have, I think with Jason, it could go either way. I think if Paul was the one asking the question, he probably was trying to give her more rope to hang herself. But with Jason, I don't know. I think that Jason could have had totally solid motives and just trying to see what else she knows. But, you know, who knows with Jason?
Scott, what did you make of that?
I'm with Melissa. I really have no idea. As far as I know, he was just trying to make good TV. So, I really have no idea what Jason's strategy is, but I mean, that's half the fun with someone like Whistlenot.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty
when you have no idea what they're thinking.
I thought it was a good move because he sort of like gave her the opportunity to, and he stood there in front of the house and said, "Hey, tell me why I should do this." And she made a case about, "Hey, if you use the veto on me, I'm going to come for that side of the house and there's a snake and I'm going to go after that." And he said, "You know what? Okay, I'm going to choose not to use the veto." So it was like he had this opportunity to prove himself in front of the house. That I think that everybody walked away from that saying, "Boy, that Whistlenot, he's a real solid guy." Here's Dominique saying she's going to come and get all of us. And he said, "No, thank you." So to me, I think that he improved his standing coming away from that veto meeting, Melissa.
I mean, yeah, that would make sense. I think that people don't really trust him. I think that he struggles with that because he gives information out to everybody. He just says whatever's on his mind and he goes back and forth like with different things every single day. So every single minute even. So, you know, people aren't thinking of him as a super trustworthy guy, but I think that at the same time, it does get him some points with that side of the house.
Okay. We saw tonight in the veto competition, there was also the opportunity to have another temptation. And we saw that Kevin, who was struggling in the challenge, decided to go for the temptation and won some more money this summer, Scott. Kevin now has $25,027 this summer.
Go, Kevin. Kevin's my favorite. He's been my favorite since preseason. He's 10 steps ahead of everybody. You don't even know. Like, he's so good. Like, He's so good. Like, he brings out the best in everyone. Everyone has a good time with him. Like, Ramses, I think Ramses might consider Kevin one of his closest friends. And look at what Kevin's doing to poor Ramses behind his back. I mean, Kevin's just, he's ahead of everyone. And while we're talking about Kevin, I think it's kind of interesting how he told Paul about the 25K. Speaking of Kevin and the money, he told Paul about the 25K. And I'm wondering if Paul ever tries to expose Kevin with that. Will Kevin turn it right around and say, "Hey, I told Paul this like week one and he kept it a secret from all of you. So, you know, I took 25K. Sure, that's selfish. But Paul lied to all of you by not telling you that I took that money." And I'd love to see a sort of back and forth between Paul and Kevin on that issue.
Yeah,
that's actually true, because the whole time Paul's been saying, "I have no idea who took the money. I have absolutely no idea who took the money. I think it was Ramses." So, you know, he's definitely, not only has he not told everyone that Kevin told him week one, but he also has been lying about it.
Yeah.
Melissa, how did it go over in the house that Kevin took the temptation during the challenge, even though it was ultimately only $27? I feel like that was almost like a favor for Kevin, where had it been $10,000, I feel like that would have given people more of a reason to target him.
Yeah, possibly. But I mean, it's Kevin, and I don't think they really thought Kevin was going to win anyway. And I don't think he really needed to win, and they knew he didn't need to win. So, I mean, a lot of the times when Kevin does anything, people just think it's hilarious or ridiculous or whatever. And he kind of has that way of making people not really care. So, you know, he's great.
Yeah, but for him, I think it really was a blessing in disguise that it was only $27. Because had that been some sort of a big prize where it was $10,000, $15,000, that could be the kind of thing that really sets Paul off. And Paul ends up being like, "You know what? I know that Kevin, he got that money. He got 25K. Now he got 15K more. I'm pissed." Actually, I think he should move to "I'm hissed." Hissed. Sound effects.
Yeah. No, that definitely could be used against him if he had gotten more money. I think that the $27, people think it's funny. People don't really care. But if he wins it like thousands, people would start to really care and see him as a target.
Yeah, he did a good job. Okay. Let's get into some of the questions and then we will segue into coming up on the live feeds. This is a question that is from at @hair_line. Make them think it was their idea. Derek's playbook. Why didn't anybody from Big Brother 17 ever use it? Well, I'm sure that Vanessa was thinking along those lines in Big Brother 17. I can't speak to what people were or were not thinking in Big Brother 17.
I think it's tough. I think it's a really tough thing to do. It's hard to make people think that, you know, that something that was someone else's idea was your idea. That's like, I mean, most people are discerning enough to be like, no, this was your idea. So, you know, it takes a lot of skill and it takes a certain person on the receiving end to pull that off.
Hmm, yeah, it is tricky. It's something that I do find in podcasting that if I do enough stuff, then other podcasters come along and then do the same exact thing and say it was their idea, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's originating from you. I'm not sure if you're the one who's making them think that, but, you know, okay.
All right, this is from Thomas McGee. Do you think that Dominique was unjustly thrown under the bus? Let's see. Scott, was it unfair what happened to her by Paul?
By Paul? No. No, I don't think so. Maybe by Alex. I mean, maybe it was a little... Maybe Dominique was really trying to start forming a bond with Alex and point out what a big threat Paul is. But I don't know. It definitely seemed like that, you know, as far as the Paul-Dominique thing, she was talking bad about Paul. And, you know, Paul responded.
Yeah. Melissa, we talked about this a little bit at the start of the week about whether it was the right move or not for Paul to go after Dominique. It certainly was effective on his part. Once he decided to go after her, he did put the target on her back and then, fuel that fire to try to send her home. But do you feel like was Paul justified in targeting Dominique or she ended up just sort of being framed for things?
I mean, I think he was justified in that they had to find a target. He didn't think that Alex was going to nominate anyone on her side of the house, in quotes. But, you know, and there are other people in the alliance who are more loyal to him than Dominique was. And I think he saw that Dominique was a smart player and was maybe starting to see things and hear things that were going to hurt him in the end. And I think that if he has to pick somebody, might as well pick someone who's kind of on the outside of the alliance who really doesn't benefit him in many ways.
But Scott, how much do you feel like Paul is acting solely on the bad intel provided by Cody during the Dominique talk show that there were two people that knew about it? And then he went and told Paul that it was Dominique and Mark. I mean, isn't Paul acting with bad info here?
Possibly, but I mean, at the same time, when I look at that big alliance and who Paul's closest with, I think Paul's closest with, like, obviously Christmas, Raven, maybe even like Elena. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to that group, I definitely feel like Paul's weakest allies would probably be Dominique and Mark.
Okay.
And if Alex has to target someone from his side, one of those two might as well go home.
Okay. This is from BB Janie. Can we talk about how production made Christmas dress up for the veto, knowing full well she couldn't compete? So, yeah, this is an interesting scenario. So Christmas is eligible for these veto competitions, but then ultimately she gets out there and then she can't play. First off, I think that she is a good person to pick if you're up on the block and you have house guest choice. I think that she's not a bad person to put out there because there's probably a 50-50 chance she can't even play in the veto. And even if she can, she's certainly going to be a liability out there. So you improve your chances to win. Melissa, did you have any issue with them making poor Christmas get dressed up and then telling her she can't play?
I didn't quite have an issue with it, but I found it kind of funny. I mean, to see her just sitting there in her little, like, safari outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was weird that, I mean, I guess, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought that they were just going to not have her play in any physical one. So if the competition was physical, they were just not going to like put her chip in. But I guess that doesn't make sense because they won't know beforehand if it's physical or not. But yeah, so I guess she's just going to be in a lot of costumes throughout the summer doing nothing in them.
Scott, do you have any thoughts on Christmas overall and her situation?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of, I don't know. I feel it's going to be lame if she ends up just sort of coasting by because no one sees her as a competitor. Everyone's thinking, well, there's no way she can win HOH, so she can't get me out. Might as well keep her in the house. So I feel like it is kind of bad for the game, but I mean, I don't feel too strongly about it one way or the other.
Let's take a question here. This is from John Densford, $10. Why do people think Jason's a good player? He's awful. Just because he said Paul's name doesn't make him smart. Melissa, I will turn the floor over to you. Is Jason a good player or not?
I think that Jason has a lot of good ideas and good instincts, but I think he's too easily influenced by other people. And I think that all of his good ideas are all jumbled up in here and they're just going around like this. And he spits out a lot of ideas, so a lot of them are good, but some of them are bad. And I think that his initial instincts for a lot of things are good. Like when he says he wants to pull in the outsiders, he wants to work with Jessica, he says we can't get rid of Ramses yet. We've got to work with these people because we have to get rid of, you know, he says Paul's just going to go to the end. He said all these things, but he's also said a lot of other things. So the reason why I like him, I don't think, oh my God, he's an amazing player. He's so good. We better watch out. I think that he is one of the few people who's actually willing to go against the grain and make big moves and isn't afraid to upset people and, you know, go against the big alliance. I think a lot of people are too scared to make these moves. And I like the fact that he's kind of fearless.
Do you think that part of the reason why Jason isn't glamored by Paul is because that he has not seen a lot of Big Brother? To him, Paul is just another person that's in the house, and he's not sort of mesmerized by the Big Brother fame of Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that probably has something to do with it. I think that he's just, you know, one of the other house guests to Jason and doesn't think of him as this all-knowing, almighty being in the house. And so he's willing to just be like, well, why are we listening to Paul? Why aren't we going against him? Why are we not, you know, like if he's controlling all these people, he's just going to walk his way to the end. Why are we letting this happen? And I like the fact that he's questioning it.
Scott Dennis, is Whistle not a good player? Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm going to say he's a good player. I wouldn't say he's like a great player, but he's definitely good. He's, you know, entertaining. We'll see. Time will tell on that one. But yeah, he's definitely entertaining. And I mean, sure, saying Paul's name doesn't make him a great player, but it still makes him above average on this season. So
okay. All right. This is from Alyssa Greenman. Will there be backlash from Paul since Jason didn't follow Paul's original plan to put up Mark? Let's table that and talk about the live feeds when we get there, because that's something that's going to potentially be a part of the Thursday show since it happens after the veto. Jeremy wants to know, who would Scott Dennis try to work with if he was in the house? Okay.
Oh, I like this question.
Yeah, Scott, what are you thinking?
I mean, this is such a hard question because you never know who you're going to just naturally get along with, who you're not going to get along with. I mean, obviously, right now I'm looking for like team good feeds. So if I were to nominate someone, it might be like Raven and Matt. But I mean, if I was actually in the house, who knows? I'd probably end up being like Ramses, honestly.
Okay. Work with Ramses.
Kevin would be my best friend, obviously. And Kevin would just throw me under the bus the entire time. And I would have no idea. So,
Yeah, you could be in that random
the outsiders.
Spot. Kevin could take you under his wing. Kevin knows best.
That's right. Yeah, I'm down for it.
This is from Cassie. You say returnees take on the title or a little bit of the winner's game from their first season. Do you see any of the Nicole game in Paul? Snake Cole? Yes. Melissa, is this happening?
I don't see any Nicole's game in Paul, but I do see Paulie's game in Paul. So I think it's interesting that he's not picking the winner to copy and is instead picking someone who just went out in a giant flame ball.
Yeah. Okay. PP always pulls through, I guess. That's what we'll find out. Mr. Robot Taryn, who got mentioned on the Big Brother telecast last Thursday, which house guest do you see checking the rule book this season, Scott?
House guest checking the rule book?
Yes.
Josh checking the rule book.
Okay. Yeah. Josh.
Y'all are out of line.
Melissa, I felt like that this was such an unevenly edited episode. I think that there was no Josh, no Ramses, no Matt, no Raven. I guess no surprise there. I guess they showed Raven for like a second that Whistlenut was trying to push for her to go up on the block. But there was a lot of people that we really barely any Elena, that this was a very like a have and have not episode.
I feel like they've been doing that for the past few episodes, which is that they focus on just a select few number of people, which, I mean, when we're having America vote for people, it's kind of weird that they're not showing half the house, even maybe even more than half the house. So, you know, I mean, although I guess voting's over now, but it's weird to me that they're just focusing on certain people. But maybe everyone will get their own episode on the week that they're getting evicted, I guess.
Okay. Let's do one more question. We'll get into the live feeds. How did Alex not smell BS when Jason approached her about her plan? That was really Paul's. Well, yeah, that we don't know. That we don't know. Paul is just really good at what he does.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe Alex just is a moron.
She might
sometimes.
Be bad at what she does. That's the other part of it, okay? All right. So let's start to segue into the live feeds. Of course, we'll be back again on Thursday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time to talk about what happens in the live eviction episode, assuming that the halting hex is not used, which we should find out about as well on Thursday. We'll have some updates on the Den of Temptation coming up in our live feed segment. And then on Friday night, we'll be back after the Battle Back episode again, assuming the Battle Back is happening and the Den of Temptation did not cause a chain reaction, which canceled it. Again, there's a lot that we still have to find out here in these next 48 hours, but we will set the podcast up for Friday night as well and hope we have a lot to talk about then. And tonight's live feed segment is going to be sponsored by our friends over at Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. You're never going to be a have-not when you've got Blue Apron coming. We actually have a Blue Apron care package delivery coming tomorrow, and very excited because Blue Apron sends you all of the healthy ingredients that you need to be cooking affordable meals at home for less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Scott, when you were in the Big Brother house, do you wish you had some Blue Apron to have cooked instead of whatever garbage they give you in the Big Brother house?
Oh, absolutely. That would have been much better than the slop.
Well, certainly better than the slop, I hope. You've got new recipes to check out every single week. You've got a number of different options. I go online, pick out the meals that you want, that you feel like that you can make. Best of all, they are easy with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. You're not even going to be up to the live feeds if you start a podcast when you're making one of these Blue Apron meals. And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. Blue Apron has a great offer for our listeners. You'll get the first three meals for free with free shipping when you go to blueapron.com/Rob. That's three meals for free when you try it out. blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Whoa, slithering snake of live feeds. Okay, here we go. All right.
I love that spoiler song. It's so fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun. Okay. So let's talk about, a lot of drama in the house. Let's update the vote count for Thursday, Melissa. And Dominique is still going home.
Yes, it seems that Dominique will be going home this week.
Okay. All right.
At this point. I mean, you know, it could always change, but at this point, it seems pretty solid that people want to get Dominique out and then want to maybe go after Jessica next week. But Dominique seems to be a solid bet for leaving this week.
Solid bet to leave this week. However, we have the Den of Temptation in play.
Yes.
What in the world is going on in the Den of Temptation?
That we do not know yet because they did the Den of Temptation today, but so far nobody has said that they have won it. I honestly don't know if he's saying that or if that's from the soundboard. Like, you could trick me. Oh my God. That is my favorite soundboard that you have. Oh.
Okay. So what do we think is going on now? I'm seeing people giving me some messages on Twitter saying that potentially there's some talk that Dominique could have visited the Den of Temptation. I was always brought up as a Catholic, lead us not into temptation. All of a sudden, a little hypocritical for Dominique.
Yeah, a little bit. I've also heard that Jessica might have it. So I'm kind of hearing a little bit of both. It seemed to me when the feeds came back on that it was Jessica because she was very lively, very buoyant, very happy, kind of going around, just a little bit of a different attitude than we had seen earlier. And that just seems like someone who might have it. Although she has told people I don't have it, but I mean, why would she tell anyone that she has it? She doesn't really have anybody she can trust in the house. Dom has been kind of mumbling to herself in the room, I don't know how to describe it, the Austin Powers room, I guess, is what people are calling it. You know, she's been in there by herself for like days now, just talking to the cameras, kind of doing her own thing. And she was kind of mumbling to herself, talking about, oh, when I nominate so-and-so or when I do this and when I'm going to talk about, and she talked about like trampling snakes. But at the same time, I don't know if that's maybe just Dom talking about nonsense or if she actually can stick around and have the thing. Maybe she's like relying on the battle back or maybe something else, but I don't have any actual proof that Dom has it or that Jessica has it at this point.
Okay, so just to reset everything that's going on with the powers in the Den of Temptation, America voted to send somebody the halting hex, which can stop a live eviction, and I believe it could potentially stop the live eviction coming up on Thursday. Now, it is my assumption that the temptation is that if somebody accepts the halting hex, that will put into motion the battle back coming up on Thursday, because then somebody will come into the house. That will be the punishment. Okay, you took this, so now the house is being punished by somebody is coming back into the house. Now, I presume, Scott Dennis, that if the halting hex is used on Thursday, we will still have a battle back coming up on Friday night.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so. That sounds about right. I mean, I know Julie did say that there would be four people playing in the battle back, or the three people voted out plus a fourth evicted house guest. So I assumed that they weren't going to give it out today. So I was kind of surprised by that. I thought they were going to give it out maybe like after the eviction Thursday or Friday. But
right. Melissa, if your team live feeds, we all like good TV, supposedly. So is the best case scenario for exciting feeds for Dominique to have gotten the halting hex, Dominique to use the halting hex, stay in the house on Thursday, and then set up a three-way match between Cameron, a.k.a. Malcolm, Jillian, and Cody?
Personally, I don't think that's the best case scenario because I just don't see anybody wanting to work with Dominique moving forward. So I think that I don't see him wanting to work with her either. So I kind of think that if she gets it, she sticks around for maybe one more week and then just gets sent right back out the door.
But Cody is there for another week. So you have Cody and Dominique, two people that the house are sort of completely against, both there. You can only get rid of one next week.
Yeah, but at the same time, Cody has been saying that he would work with Paul. So there's a possibility that he comes in. I mean, I don't know if I see this happening, but he comes in, tells Paul, you know, look, I want to work with you. I don't want to go against you, blah, blah, blah. And maybe Cody can stick around and work with Paul. So I just don't see that as being the best case scenario. I kind of see like team fun feeds maybe being that Jessica gets it, doesn't use it this week. Maybe Cameron comes back into the house, because that's a total, like, we have no idea what's going to happen if Cameron comes back in the house. And then later on, Jess can use it.
Scott.
Or maybe Cody comes back in the house and Jess uses it later to save Cody. Who knows? But something like that.
Scott, would you be pumped up for fellow alpha male Cody to come back into the house on Friday?
I mean, I was really pumped up until he was really sort of pushing the angle of, oh, I would work with Paul if I came back. That's when he kind of lost me. Mm-hmm. A lot of his appeal comes from being like the anti-Paul, like the antithesis of Paul. He's everything that Paul's not. Yeah. And,
but yeah. Do you think that that could actually work, Paul and Cody? That I don't see that Cody ever, like, if you want to work with Paul, you have to be a total yes person of, okay, Paul, whatever you want. I think that's a great plan. I love your idea, Paul. This is great. Oh, it's snake costume. That's hilarious. Cody is not that guy. There's no way that Paul and Cody could coexist in an alliance, Melissa, or an organic grouping.
I would have loved to see Cody's reaction to Paul dressing as a snake.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it would have just been like, what is this nonsense? Like, there's no way he would have fed into that. I don't see Paul working with Cody when he comes back. So I think that if Cody comes back, tries to work with Paul, sees that it's a complete dead end, maybe Cody then will just go back to being the Cody that people love, which is Cody going against Paul. And by people I don't mean everyone. I don't mean everyone. I mean people, a.k.a. me.
Okay. All right. I know that the guys on the live feed update have really covered this in depth, the whole incident with Mark and with Josh from Tuesday afternoon or Monday afternoon. But let's just reset that for anybody who has not been listening to the live feed updates in the morning. And I just want to, again, reiterate what a great job the LFC has been doing with a rotating panel of guests. They've been live at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific for those updates. Melissa, could you talk us through the fight between Mark and Josh real quick?
It was so bizarre. It started from literally nothing, which is that they had made some bets for a game of pool, and it was Mark and Josh, and they had bet that whoever lost had to drink pickle juice and hot sauce. And then Josh scratched, and he double-tapped the ball and said that he won. And Mark was like, no, you didn't win. And Josh is like, yeah, I won, bro. And Mark is like, oh, you're going to tell me you won? Tell me again. And then he said, yeah, I won. And he splashed the pickle juice right in Josh's face. Josh was pissed. He runs inside, grabs some condiments, comes outside and sprays them all over Mark. And Mark kind of thought it was funny and was like laughing and trying to hug Josh with the condiments all over him. But Josh did not think it was funny. And then it all evolved somehow into Josh standing in the hot tub while the whole house was gathered around him. And he was doing this like house meeting, but it was more like confronting each individual person in the house. Like, I'm being like, come at me, bro. Come at me. No, I've got my integrity. You have to come at me. If you're going to challenge my integrity and my word as a man, you're going to come at me. Next, next. And was like telling everyone to like come at him with their problems. And it was pretty great to watch.
Yeah, it was a little bit Shades of the Knight's King, where he's just like really just standing up and trying to get people like, come on, give me more of this. Scott, did you follow that saga at all?
I did. I felt really bad for Josh. I mean, I know if I was in that spot, like, obviously I don't have a relationship with Mark at all, so I can't say how pissed I would be. But I feel like I would be pretty furious if that happened to me. And like, I feel like Josh handled this situation better than I would have, for what that's worth. So, I feel for Josh in that spot.
But Melissa, correct me if I'm wrong, but this was an endearing move. You would think a blow up like that would be something that would turn people against him. But there are a lot of people that thought that that was a good move that Josh made.
I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily a good move generally, like if anybody had done that. But the fact that it was Josh who was doing it, people kind of see Josh as like, oh, boy, that's Josh again. He's confronting everyone. There's the Josh blow up that we know and love. And they think it's funny. They think it's, you know, it's great because it puts a target on him. And they're like, well, we can't get rid of him now. So overall for Josh, I think it turned out really well for him, but I don't necessarily see that turning out well for anyone else who tries it.
And we've talked about this a lot where Paul is this Boston Rob type character. I think that plays to Paul's advantage to have a real wild card out there like Josh, especially a wild card that wants to work with him like a Paul, because just like Boston Rob had in Survivor Redemption Island, he had Philip. Boston Rob really, you know, would like wind Philip up and then have everybody talking about Philip, because the more they're talking about sort of a big personality in the house that's doing outlandish things, the less they're talking about, hey, what is Paul really up to? So I think that these distractions that he's doing, again, if you're talking about Paul wearing a snake costume, you're not talking about what's Paul's endgame strategy. Who's Paul taking to the final three or the final four? So you got to really just continue to not just be the mastermind or the puppet master, as Paul tried to point out, but also you're sort of the activity director also in the house, where you need to have a lot of programming going on for people to be talking about. I want to continue going through some of these questions as well, but Melissa, I was also asked to mention Mark crying tonight. We haven't talked about that. Do you feel like that Mark was portrayed fairly tonight, or is he getting a bit of a unfair crybaby edit?
I think that I didn't see a single DR with him tonight where he wasn't crying. So that was pretty impressive, I think. It means he was crying a lot. But I think that it's trying to give Mark a sympathetic edit. I could definitely see my mom watching it and being like, oh, my God, he's so sweet. I love Mark. He cares about his Dominique. He cares about his friends. I absolutely see my mom doing that. So I definitely see casual watchers thinking the same thing. I feel like a lot of live feeders or, you know, whatever, I probably will not enjoy that so much, or will think it's pretty hilarious and will laugh at him about it. But, you know, that's kind of what Mark does a lot. He kind of cries and is very emotional and is very up and down. And like, I mean, he throws the drink in Josh's face and it's like, whoa, who is this guy? That's aggressive. And then he'll sit there and cry like 1 minute later. So he's kind of up and down and all over the place.
Scott, can Mark handle how tough it is on these BB streets?
I don't know. He's been having some issues from the get-go. I don't know what him and Elena's, I don't know, weirdness is with their showmans. There's definitely some distance between them that's unusual. I don't know. I can't wait to see tomorrow. I really hope that pickle hot sauce.
Oh, it definitely
makes
will.
The edit. Well, it better make that.
Bet the house. We're going to see pickle hot sauce gate coming up on Thursday night.
Another game.
Definitely. They're trying to paint him as like this big softy teddy bear this episode. And it's going to be really interesting to compare it to his episode.
Well, it'll
tomorrow.
Be interesting if be the awesome. Show really tries to portray Josh as the villain in that moment. That's going to be interesting to see how the show tries to paint
I could
that.
Totally see that. Yeah. I could totally see it being like, Mark is this poor crybaby. And he like, you know, he just feels like everyone's attacking him in that moment. And you see a DR with him being like, nobody likes me anymore, you know, and then just like he lashes out and Josh is the bully. Yeah. Like, I could absolutely see them doing that.
Because if the show needs a villain and they don't want to necessarily make Paul into the villain, like Paul is going to be the mastermind, but not necessarily the villain of the season. I wonder if they try to lean in on Josh being the villain and Mark being this underdog figure. Melissa, could you also just update me? What's the status of Mark and Elena at this point?
They're still doing what they're doing, chugging along. I mean, they're essentially a showman's where they, you know, kiss and all that. But I think Elena just kind of doesn't want to get too close to him. And I think she even talked about how she doesn't like to let guys in. She kind of always pushes people away. And I see her doing that with Mark. And I think Mark's kind of like after her, like a little puppy dog. And she's kind of like, if she's into it that minute, then she's into it. And if she's not into it that minute, then she's not. And Mark just has to deal with it. And I think that that's kind of what their relationship is. And I think she likes him, but it's so hard to tell.
Shane and Danielle went over the top under the covers.
Yeah, we need to bring back that music cue.
Yeah, seriously.
Melissa, would you describe Mark and Elena more like showmance with benefits?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, probably. I don't know. I feel like there's also some hindrances with it, not just benefits. But, I mean, they're a very strange couple at this point because, you know, one minute I'm like, oh, Elena really likes Mark. She really likes him. And the next minute I'm like, oh, she hates Mark. She wants him out. So I don't know. I wish I could give you a definitive answer, but they're really hard to read.
Scott, you frown upon this sort of behavior in the Big Brother house, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. All this grab ass in.
That's right. Not in your kingdom.
Not in this kingdom, not today.
All right. This is Jen Manning, the great Jen Manning, wants to know, did Mark damage his relationship with Alex, Jason, and Paul by not submitting to being used as a pawn? Scott, what do you think about this, where if your alliance says to you, hey, you should go up on the block, and you then go ahead and say, oh, no, I don't trust you guys. That's a bad look, right?
Yeah, I think in this spot, it's a bad look because, I mean, the basic rationale is that you're basically the closest person to Dominique. You're the person that's most likely to rally the votes. We really just want her out. Like, you have nothing to worry about. We just want to, and we want to put you up so you don't have to vote out your friend or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Mark shouldn't be fighting it so much, but, I mean, it's never good to be a pawn, so I'm neutral on it.
Let's take one from at Fat Tyson Apostle. Alex Willett did a hinky vote on Big Brother OTT. What does Scott think of Kevin and Christmas's hinky votes? I mean, this has really been the season of hinky votes. And I guess that, you know, if we are expecting a lopsided vote tomorrow night, I think that maybe we should also be on the lookout for potentially a one vote to really get the house worked up. So, Scott, why don't we start with your opinion on the hinky vote?
The hinky vote is, I mean, like I said before, Kevin's 10 steps ahead of everyone and you don't even know. He's got the house on lock. But yeah, I mean, the hinky votes, it's going to hurt Kevin if Christmas can put two and two together about the three votes being cast to evict Ramses last week. I'm not sure, how much that's been talked about exactly, but Christmas definitely has some sort of, indication that the first three people to vote to evict between Ramses and Cody, they all voted to evict Ramses. So that could really put Kevin in a tight spot.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Dominic M. So much talk of Cody coming back via the battle back. Wouldn't it make more sense to evict Jessica so only one can come back? Dominique's alone. Yeah, I guess that would make sense. But you are working from the third person omniscient perspective where the house knows there is a battle back coming tomorrow night. Melissa, do they suspect that there is a battle back that is going to take place after the eviction?
I don't know if they suspect it's going to take place after the eviction, but they definitely suspect that a battle back is going to happen. They're kind of thinking that Cody might come back into the house. And in fact, today, Jess was talking to Alex and Jason, and she was talking about Paul, saying that Paul's been trying to smooth things over with Jess, in case Cody comes back into the house. And of course, Alex went and squealed on Jess to Paul. So annoying. But she went straight to Paul and was like, guess what Jess has been saying? And then, of course, Paul is like, you know what we got to do? We need to get somebody to, like, bait Jess and get this information out of her so that way we can. And I thought he was going to say so that we can evict her this week, or like, so that way we, if this is true that she's saying this, like, let's get her out of the house. But instead he said so that way we can, like, rattle her at the next HOH competition or something. So he says he's going to call her out on it if he can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he's taking after Polly again, once again. Bread for this. Following the strategy.
Yeah.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't going to feed themselves, so your boy needs his meat.
Hey, did he say this is a damn good snake?
This is a damn good steak.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is, was Dominique speaking in tongues? Did she on the feeds? And I believe that is not Dominique. This was a Jocasta screenshot, but she was the original one speaking in tongues in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. I guess she was speaking in tongues. I mean, to be honest, I don't know what speaking in tongues sounds like, but I didn't know what language she was speaking. So, I mean, process of elimination, I guess that was speaking in tongues.
I only know a little bit about it because it happened on the Survivor Philippines season. And, you know, I sort of like, I think we made fun of it back then. And then people wrote in and sort of like explained a little bit more about what it is. And I guess it is a, you know, not totally uncommon. So I don't know a lot about it. It never came up in any of my religious education classes, but we'll go with it. We'll go with the speaking in tongues, and hopefully it helps Dominique. Shay wants to know, why is everyone this season just trying to get to jury? Are we entering an era of BB where no one wants to win? Scott Dennis, is that why Big Brother OTT was so great? Because there was no sequestered jury?
I mean, I'm glad this question was asked, because wanting to make jury and wanting to win the game are not mutually exclusive. You can't win the game unless you actually make it to the final nine or final 11 or whatever. I mean, you got to make it to that point. And it's good to set like benchmarks for yourself. I mean, I don't know.
So what you're saying is that you wonder if you got everybody hooked up to a lie detector. Do they really want to just make it to jury, or is that just what they're saying?
That's just what they're saying. I mean, I think it's kind of a meta thing nowadays where like half the house just says they want to make jury so that way they don't appear as big of a threat. I mean, I know that was kind of a strategy I tried to do a little bit. That was like, oh, I'm just here to play week to week. I just want to make it as long as I can. And other people in the house were like, that bastard's just here for screen time and the stipend. He's not here to win. And it was like, yeah, I'm here to win, but you're all thinking I'm not. So that's a good thing for me.
They'll get you no matter what. All right. This is from AJ. No, what are the odds that Cody comes back into the house, dumps Jessica, and goes straight to Alex? Wow. Melissa, is this even a possibility? Didn't he ask her to just be his girlfriend?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I mean, maybe if Jess was evicted, and then maybe he'd go straight to Alex, but I don't see him just completely ignoring Jessica and being like, forget you. I just asked you to be my girlfriend, but forget you. I definitely think that he's going to go to Jess and probably try and get something going with between Jess and Alex, but I don't see him, maybe not that way, or maybe that way. I don't know, but I don't see him dumping Jess anytime soon. Okay.
He's an alpha male. Liana Boris wants to ask this. I don't see it either. Jason is the Patrick Star of the season, despite what the edited show is trying to do to him. Okay, Scott, yes or no? Is Jason the Patrick Star of the season?
No. I mean, who would be the Patrick Star of the season?
It's a great question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I think that
probably Matt. Would Matt be the Patrick Star of the season?
We don't know yet because we've never heard his voice. No, but I think that Jason is the Joey Tribbiani of this season. And Taryn made me realize that because he posted a Joey GIF along with the description of Jason or whatever. And I was like, oh, my God. Jason is Joey. He's so Joey. He's just like, you know, kind of crazy and out there and like throwing ideas out left and right.
How
are
you doing? Then,
you know, exactly. He's so charming, okay. Right? He is.
Real quick then, who's the Chandler of this season?
Oh, that's tough. Because everybody wants to be a Chandler, right?
Wow.
Yeah, Chandler and Monica is like the OTP. That's who everyone wants to be.
Chandler and Monica are the OTP. Are you down with OTP?
Absolutely. OTP is my OTP is personally Kevin and Jason.
Kevin and Jason.
Who would be the Chandler? I don't know.
I think it's Cameron. I think he's gonna come back and be. Could I be any more excited to be back?
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely Cameron. Okay, good call. Good call. Okay.
All right. Noah says, if Paul is safe for 3 evictions and the halting hex is used tomorrow, would Paul be safe for another week? Melissa, that would be pretty petty on the part of the Big Brother producers if they say,
That's what people were saying on Twitter today. I saw it.
Stop.
That, like, this means that he's safe for another one if it gets used, but I hope not.
No, I hope not. Please. That's snake tendencies if I ever heard one.
Yeah, on behalf of production.
Yeah. That is very snakey, if you ask me.
How does a snake operate?
It slithers.
Yeah, it slithers, right?
What is a snake? Crawl through. What does he crawl through? A loophole. And he's got another loophole that he's going to do. The snake can go right through the loophole.
Okay.
What does a snake have? It's like the weirdest whispering thing. Oh, my God.
Okay. Lucky Sports Guy 99. Do you think Paul would have tried to convince people to vote Mark out if he was put up on the block as the pawn? Melissa, you think that would be what Paul would be going for?
I actually think that could have been a possibility. I mean, people are all saying, you know, oh, you know, they're going after Dominique anyway. Mark should just agree to be a pawn. But I think that there's absolutely the chance that Paul might be like, you know what? Like, we might as well take out Mark now because he's so in with a bunch of people. Let's get rid of him now and find some way to flip it and be like, and realize that Dominique is alone at this point. Why not get rid of her? And Mark was making that argument too. He was actually making some really good arguments as to why he should not go up as the pawn. He was telling them, you know, week to week, people have been going up on the block as the target and then have become the common enemy of everybody. And then everyone goes, wait a second. Well, now they have no allies. They're alone. Why would we vote them out? And so week by week, people have been staying that have no allies. And that absolutely could have happened with Mark. Mark kept saying, why couldn't that happen with me and Dominique at this point? Why wouldn't you just take a shot at me? So I think that it could have been a possibility that Mark could have gone home this week if he was on the block.
Scott, you buying that?
Yeah, I'm down for it. I mean, Paul's just been so so aggressive this season that I could see Paul
Snakes
trying to pull a move
like that.
Very
aggressive creatures. They're carnivores. They eat everything. Snakes have no eyelids. They see everything in the house.
Okay. All right. And this is from Big Brother 19. This is, how does Mark not get in trouble for throwing hot sauce, but Big Meech got in trouble for throwing apples? # I'm nice to you sometimes.
Wasn't it that she didn't get in trouble, but she was afraid she was going
to get
in
trouble? I don't think it was that she got in trouble. I think that she hit Paul in the kidney with an apple, and then she was sad because she thought that she hurt Paul about that.
I thought she was sad. She was sad because she thought she'd be kicked out of the game.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. We have to go back and check the tape on all of that. All right. So very exciting stuff. Looking forward to the eviction to see how everything plays out on Thursday night. Of course, we'll be back again live. Scott Dennis, great job on the show. Let me just play for you since you're here. Yes, that's in your honor.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Much yes. Appreciated.
Great to have you here. And again, really great job again, Melissa, with everything. We got a lot of stuff for you to check out as well. If you've been following in the blog section of Rob Has a Website, Matt Ligori has been doing a weekly power rankings blog. This past week, he had Ian Terry on to give his power rankings. Be on the lookout for that at robhasawebsite.com/blogs. I mentioned the Big Brother live show coming up on August 3rd in New York City. You can get your tickets at robhasawebsite.com/BB19Live. And if you can make it out to Salt Lake City, we've got a really great RahapCon 2 planned for the weekend of the 25th and 26th. We're going to have a big Survivor panel, get all of the survivors from Utah out there, including Tyson Apostle, who will join me for a live News AF number 100. We'll have some nighttime functions as well. You can find out more information at rahapcon.com. Game of Thrones Recaps.com. And of course, Game of Thrones fans, plenty going on post-show recaps with the Game of Thrones season 7 underway. Melissa, I hear you're a big Game of Thrones fan.
I am a Game of Thrones fan, absolutely. I'm currently in a Game of Thrones fantasy league, which is very fun.
Oh, yes.
It's really cool. They give you points for like various like violent things that they do, or various like romantic things that they do, various great one-liners. Okay. It's very complex.
All right. I'm intrigued to hear more about the scoring system of the romance part of things, but I think that would violate my rule of letting the LFC talk about their fantasy draft. So unfortunately, I got to shut it down, Melissa. I'm sorry.
Aw,
save
man.
That for the round table. All right. Great stuff. All right. Follow Scott Dennis on Twitter. Scott Dennis _?
Yeah, at Scott Dennis underscore.
Oh, also, let me also mention this. This is a little bit of a cryptic thing that was tweeted out earlier tonight. So, Melissa, have you followed this, that there was an odd tweet from Global _TV earlier tonight? Did you catch this?
I saw it briefly, but I wasn't sure what was going on. I just kind of scrolled through it right before we started.
So
this.
There was a weird tweet, and it was it just pointed to a Facebook page, and there was a hashtag you can and you will. There was just like static, and it's this 4-second video. But you can and you will was the phrase used by Arissa Cox during the live eviction, when the double eviction, when it was Cindy was asked to put up a replacement nominee, and she's like, oh, I can't do it. And Arissa said, you can and you will. So interesting that that would come out from Global.TV. And when you click on the link, it takes you to a countdown clock to with 22 hours and 56 seconds on the countdown clock. It's like a Facebook Live video. I don't know what we're counting down to. Some people have speculated we're counting down to the battle back, which seems a little anticlimactic unless you're like a huge Cody nut. So there is some talk of to whether this could be some sort of an announcement about the future of Big Brother Canada, Scott Dennis.
Let's hope so. Let's hope we get some good news
tomorrow.
There's
some speculation also in the chat. Could this be the beginning of Big Brother Canada OTT?
Hey, even better, right?
So maybe that's where the announcement could be. But I know that the LFC will be with bated breath for the next 22 hours to figure out what's going on. Anyway, so great job. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, everybody who joined us live. We've got our live show coming up Thursday night and Friday night. Don't miss Taryn's updates coming up on Thursday on the Facebook page for Rob as a Podcast. And I believe, from what I understand, Melissa, the live feeds are going to go dark on Thursday into Friday when we get our next episode. So
I've heard.
Imagining, unless Taryn has something up his sleeve, no live feed update coming up on Friday morning.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Scott Dennis,
do we have a hashtag?
Oh, what's the hashtag tonight?
I liked Whisper Riddle.
Okay, Whisper Riddle. Okay.
That's a good one.
That's good. All right. And Scott Dennis, anything else you want people to check out?
No, thanks for having me, Rob. It's always a pleasure.
Scott, you come back anytime. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.